Are you ready for the word this morning? I could go on. Go to Acts chapter 1. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1, still talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. Jesus commanded them to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And they said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, Jesus told them to wait for the baptism, the immersion of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is that baptism of the Holy Spirit? Go to Acts chapter 2. Now, there's many different doctrines today. There's many different attitudes. There's many different beliefs. I remember after I was in seminary, and the Holy Spirit began to break out into the mainline denominations, I remember one major denomination that came out after they had opposed the baptism of the Spirit, after they had opposed speaking in tongues, after they had come out openly against this stuff and from many pulpits preached that it was of the devil, suddenly announced that they too were filled with the Holy Spirit and they too were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They said they didn't have tongues, but they were also baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they had been all along. It was a brand new discovery to the pastors that had been condemning the baptism of the Holy Spirit to find out now that the denomination boldly and proudly declared that they were all baptized in the Holy Ghost. Okay? So there's been that debate. And they even have a little, I'll give you a clue, they even have a little cross now with an emblem of fire coming out of the cross. Isn't that wonderful? Because they're baptized in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, I'm all for everyone being baptized in the Spirit, but it's amazing how many begin to change what the baptism of the Spirit is because they still deny the power. And the Bible says, beware of those who claim God to know God, but deny the power thereof. He said, look out for these people because they're going to deceive you. I'm just quoting Bible. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Acts chapter 2 gives us the when they were realized that, see, some people say, well, when Jesus was raised from the dead, he baptized everybody in the Holy Spirit. Well, you don't find that in the Bible. You know, we're going to get into some things today that are maybe a little bit different than what you've heard, but we believe the Bible. Amen. We believe the Scripture, and we need to know these things because we need to be able to give a defense of that which we believe. Amen. So the first baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, wait for it, wait for it. Well, what does it look like? Nobody knew. Nobody knew. Didn't have a clue what the baptism was all about. They just knew Jesus said, wait, so we're going to wait. You know, we're obedient. We're just going to wait. We're going to do what Jesus said. He said, don't leave Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high, because when the Holy Spirit comes, he will baptize you in power. You shall receive power to be witnesses, literally to be martyrs, to lay down your life, to yield, to give everything to Jesus. So in Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. Doesn't say they were fire, but as of fire. And one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, something remarkable happened here. Some people say, well, when we all get into unity, when we all say the same thing, when we all come into that perfect agreement, that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, you can be in unity and not be in the Spirit. Hitler had a whole bunch of people in unity with him, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was a demon spirit, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. So just because you're in unity, that produces a lot of things, but you need to have that fourth person in the fire with you. You need to have Jesus in the fire with you. You need the Holy Spirit in the presence, in your unity with each other. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And here was the sign. Here was the understanding that this was unique because this had never happened before. had never happened before in biblical history. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and what? They did something. And began to speak with other tongues. Now, evidently, Jesus considers this to be important because he told the disciples, he told the church fathers, don't leave home without it. So I know you're comfortable. I know everything is going cool. He said, I know you've got the right theology. I know you've got the right understanding, but don't leave home without the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? He said, because if you do, you're going to go out and you're going to try to do God things through the ideas of men, and men cannot think the thoughts of God. When the beggar was laying alongside the road and Peter and John were passing, and he said, alms, alms, alms. And they passed by and said, you know, we don't have any money. And they pulled out their pockets and there's nothing in there. So we don't have any money, but watch this. What we have, we're going to give you. What they had was the power of the Holy Spirit. And they grabbed hold of them and said, didn't even give them a choice. In the name of Jesus, walk! And they jerked them up. Well, what would happen if you would do that without the power of God? Well, you'd be picking them off the floor and putting them back on his bed. That's what you would be doing. But no, the man came to his feet and his legs were strengthened and he walked. And he started shouting and hooting around and all this kind of stuff. I mean, you'd think you were at NASCAR. I mean, this would blow your mind the way that he reacted because he was healed. And they called in people and they said, well, who do you think you are to be praising this man, Jesus? And the guy replied, he says, well, Jesus, you know, we don't know really who he was, but he says, we know that a sinner, that God does not hear a sinner, and it seems like God hears this man, Jesus. They knew that these disciples were uneducated people, but they knew that they had been with Jesus. Well, how did they know? Because they had received the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power, the initial sign was they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to tell you, you need this person. How many of you believe in the Father? How many of you believe in the Son? Okay, how many believe in the Holy Spirit? Okay, we got the right doctrine. But do you know the person of the Spirit? Do you know the person of the Father? Do you know the person of the Son? Do you know the person of the Holy Spirit? Well, we know about the Father and we know about the Son, but basically the church and most Christians are totally ignorant about the person of the Holy Spirit. Because some charismatic congregations limit him to Sunday morning praying in tongues. Now, the Bible says those who are the sons of God will be led by the Spirit of God. Well, how do you know the Spirit of God unless you have walked with him, unless you have spent time with him? How do you know that you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, I felt all tingly one time. No, that doesn't mean anything. I felt tingly the other day when I walked into a wall. You know, I just tingled from head to toe. But it wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was stupidity. No, I didn't really walk into a wall. But you know, sometimes we get like that, don't we? Oh, I tingled. The Holy Ghost must be here. Well, you know, the Holy Ghost can be there and you don't feel a thing. The Holy Spirit's with us more than we know, and most of the time we don't even give him place. Why? Because we don't know the Holy Spirit. Okay, amen. And I want to go to this part. In 1 Corinthians 13, we covered this last week. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let me find it here. This is crucial. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 to 12. He says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, a lot of people, a lot of scholars use this verse, and they say, well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit has ceased. It's passed away. Well, why? Well, we know a lot more now. Oh, we know a lot more. The church knows more than what it did when Peter and Paul John were healing people and casting out devils. We know more now than all the. It's like we are still in the process of rediscovery. We're still trying to figure out what they meant. We know more now. I beg to differ. We're still learning. But they say, well, that which is perfect has come. This is perfect? Is this as good as it's going to get? This is the kingdom of God? You know, there are people today, pastors and churches, that believe that you are right now living in the millennial age of Christ, where Jesus has returned and we've got 1,000 years of peace and prosperity. And I say, if this is as good as it gets when Jesus is ruling in the earth, I'm going to find me a different religion because this isn't going too good. Do you understand what I'm saying? If this is it, but there's people that preach that. They believe the perfect has come. This is it. I don't think so. Now, you may beg to differ with me. Maybe you're happy with everything the way it is. Maybe you're happy with people being poor and people not being healed and people not being healthy. Maybe you're happy with banks collapsing and governments running amok. Maybe to you this is a good thing, but I don't think God sees it as a good thing. He said to pray for His kingdom to come, His will to be done on the earth even as it's done in heaven. And if this is a picture of heaven, forget it. It's not worth it. It's not worth the self-discipline. It's not worth all the stuff because it seems like the world's getting all the goodies and we get stuck with the crap. If this is perfect, well, obviously it's not. I haven't heard too many people really argue that this is going to be as good as it gets. So obviously, the perfect hasn't come. And if the perfect hasn't come, I guess tongues is still in operation. I guess the work of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is still working today. Amen? The word cease or fail, where it says there that there are prophecies, but they will fail, the word literally means to drop away or to be driven out. And I believe that by and large, the church has either dropped the use of tongues, dropped the teaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or they have literally excommunicated the Holy Spirit from the church. I mean, I've been in churches, I've been in groups where we don't allow the Holy Spirit, and they'll say it this way, we don't allow for the gifts or the operation of the Holy Spirit here. And they think they're being politically correct by saying, we want the person of the Spirit, we just don't want him to do anything. You know, what they're saying is we don't want tongues, we don't want prophecy, we don't want words of knowledge, we don't want words of wisdom, we don't want discernment of spirits, we don't want the Holy Ghost to do anything in our midst, because there's people that don't understand the Holy Spirit. Duh. You know, I don't understand all there is to be about Jesus. Well, let's not talk about Jesus because someone might be offended. Is this what our culture has come to? That we don't preach the truth that we know because we're afraid someone's going to be offended? Well, sadly, that's exactly what a lot of churches have succumbed to and a lot of Christians have succumbed to, that we're just not going to preach the fullness of the Word of God because we're worried about offending people. They may go to hell, but we don't want to offend them on the way. They may do something stupid because they've ignored the witness of the Holy Spirit, but that's okay. We don't want to offend them. And that's become the position, the official position of some denominations. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." So if the tongues has passed away and tongues is the first manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then we must also come to the conclusion that they believe the Holy Spirit has passed away. But if the Holy Spirit has passed away, how is He going to lead us? You know, I heard a person years ago make the comment that they don't believe anybody who says, "God told me." Well, evidently they don't want to believe Jesus because Jesus said, "I only speak and do the things that I hear my Father say and see Him do." I don't trust a pastor who never hears from God. I never trust a Christian who says, "Well, God just doesn't talk to me." Now, why do I say that? Because I found out God talks to sinners. And if He talks to sinners but doesn't talk to His own children, something's out of whack. And I can give you example after example after example of people that believed they were going to hell, that believed God was talking to them, and they were right. God's trying to save them. God's trying to rescue them. God's trying to turn their life around. Whether they listen or not, God is reaching out to them. Right now in Iraq, in Iran, we have Jesus appearing to Muslims, leading them, explaining who he is, that he is the real Christ and the Christ of the Bible, and the Christ of Abraham and Moses and Isaiah and Jeremiah and the Christ of the New Testament. He's appearing to these people. We say, well, I don't believe that because, well, I don't believe God talks to us anymore. Well, you don't believe in the leading of the Holy Spirit then. Now, do some people get wacky? Oh my, yes, they do. But there's wackiness and there's truth. But you don't throw out the truth because someone got wacky over it. If you do that, let's go out and pollute the planet because there's some wacky environmentalists out there. They're just nuts. So let's go out and litter as much as we can because we don't want to abide by any of the truth because there's a few nuts out there. No, that would be stupid. We've got to live here. The Bible says we're to be good stewards of the planet, amen? We're to take care of it. We're not to destroy it. God's responsible for making a new heaven and new earth, but let's not destroy the one we have. I mean, there's some common sense about this stuff. But we need to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God, and if you deny the operation or the presence or the working of the Holy Spirit, how can he lead you? Because you'll rebel against that too. Jesus told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We're told that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So if we're only going to be led by natural things and not by the Holy Spirit, how can we enter into the kingdom of God? How can we enter into that which is our inheritance that God has given to us if we're only going to be led by the flesh? If we're only going to be led by what feels good or by what feels bad? Go with me to Galatians 4, because I want to hit on this again. Galatians chapter 4, verses 28 and 29. It says, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. Now the promise is the Holy Spirit that Jesus talked about. We are children of the Holy Spirit. In other words, God has an inheritance for us. God has things set apart for us, but they're in the Holy Spirit. And you're not going to get these things that God has for you if you deny a third of his person. If you deny his working, you won't get these things. So we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Well, that very simply is telling us that which is flesh is going to persecute that of the Spirit. We are like Isaac, and Ishmael persecuted Isaac because Isaac was the son of promise. He was the one that got all the goodies of God. And although Ishmael was firstborn, God didn't choose the firstborn. He chose the son of promise. Well, just like in the church, many people want to be Ishmael thinking that they're Isaac. And they're persecuting the children of the promise. Who are the children of the promise? Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem, do not depart until you receive the promise of my Father, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing for people that are filled with the Holy Spirit to persecute people that are filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's just amazing, isn't it? It just doesn't make any sense. If we're all filled with the same Spirit, how come we're persecuted? And then you hear people say, well, when the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes, it always causes division. Well, not always, but it riles up the flesh because it supersedes the flesh. And a lot of people, well, if that tongue talker never would have come here, this never would have happened. But this says that flesh persecutes the Holy Spirit. Flesh persecutes the child of promise. So understand there's going to be opposition to tongues. There's going to be opposition to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. These things are just natural, literally, because it's the natural things persecuting the things of the Spirit. Amen. Now, I'll give you a current example to this. The National Day of Prayer has just been declared unconstitutional. Even though we've been doing it for 200 years, even though the very first act of Congress was prayer and to appoint a chaplain in charge of Congress. That was their first act. They didn't want to go anywhere without it. Our Constitution writers were at Constitution writers were at an impasse. They had reached a point where they couldn't go any further. And Ben Franklin, remember him? The atheist, the deist, the anti-God person, he declared, let's have a day of prayer and fasting. We're not going to do anything. And they had preachers come in all day and preach, and every congressman was there. Every one of them attended the meeting. And they prayed and fasted and listened to preachers preach, and they came back the next day and they voted through the Constitution and all the objections ceased. Ben Franklin called for a national day of prayer to get the Constitution written. And now we find out for Congress to declare a day of prayer, not even Christian prayer, it's just a day of prayer, has now become unconstitutional. We find out we're all seditionists. Because I heard somebody on TV the other day say sedition is anyone who opposes the present authority of government. Oh, we're now seditionists. Why? We want to pray for America. We want to pray for godly leaders. We want to pray for integrity in our Congress, in our judges, in our military, in our police. We want to pray these things. And so I just want to announce to you, you're all seditionists today. Why? The flesh persecutes the spirit. Say, well, I don't know if I can handle this. You better. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. But he says, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father and the angels in heaven. Whoa, hallelujah. We've been talking about favor in Sunday school. I want favor. I don't want God to withdraw his favor from me. I don't want God to withdraw his favor from the United States of America. I don't, because if he withdraws his favor from us, what hope is there left for the world? Literally, what hope is left for the world? We're providing the money for evangelism. We're providing the preachers. We're providing the Bible materials. And suddenly, we've been declared seditionists. Suddenly, we've been declared, you're going against the Constitution of the United States of America. When we're normal. You know, they're trying to convince you of all kinds of things. And all it is basically just persecution against the Holy Spirit of God. That's basically what it comes down to. They don't want God mentioned. They don't want God in our marriages. They don't want God in our money. They don't want God in our government. They don't want God in your personal life. They want to get rid of God. They've already taken him out of education. But it's amazing, after about 50 years of indoctrination into evolution, 70% of the kids graduating from high school and college still believe that God created. And it really upsets them. It really upsets them. Because they obviously haven't done enough. You know, it's now illegal to teach creation alongside evolution. It's illegal. Well, why? It's another belief. Matter of fact, if you get down to it, most of the world believes in creation rather than evolution. Muslims believe in creation. They don't believe in our God of creation, but they believe that we were created and we didn't evolve. We believe that. Other religions around the world believe it. But no, we're going to get rid of that because it's just like the Ten Commandments. If you post this is what the Supreme Court declared back in the 60s. If you post the Ten Commandments in a classroom or on a wall of school, it might be that someone walking by would read them and believe them. And thus it would mess up their mind. It's like to believe that it's wrong to kill, to steal, to cheat, to lust after, to believe that it's wrong to worship God would corrupt us. There is sedition, and it's been going on for a long time, and it's a sedition against the Constitution of the United States of America and against the God that served to found this country. There is sedition going on, but it has tried to make itself appear as middle of the road. I mean, they don't want to be called liberal. They don't want to be called socialist. But yet every now and then one of them will open up and say, I'm proud to be a socialist and a liberal. Oh, Alan Combs is now calling himself a liberal. 2 years ago, he didn't like the term liberal because that puts us into camps. Now Alan Combs gladly says he's a liberal. Well, what does a liberal believe? Liberals are anti-God, anti-religion, and they want to get all this stuff out. And say, and look at the society we've created. Look at what we've created among our children. Look at the black community in America and how we've destroyed that. 70% of black children are born outside of marriage with no husband, with no father. It's up to 30% among the white population now. And you know what Congress said? All these non-racial people that have worked to destroy the black community, they said, we've got to stop this in the white community because it'll destroy us as a people. Yeah. The black community believes in God. The black community believes in all the things, but they've looked to men to be their salvation. Man can never do what God can do. See, this is the thing. This is what Jesus said to the Pharisees. He said in Luke 11:52, woe to you lawyers. How many of you know about 70% of our Congress people right now are lawyers? You know, it's like a pre-requirement to be voted in. But he says, woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in you hindered. Does that speak of today? Well, what is it? They're denying the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they're denying the power of God. What is the key to knowledge, that or key of knowledge that Jesus talks about? Well, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema word of God, by the revealed word of God. If there's no Holy Spirit, there is no revealing. If there's no revealing, then you cannot know God. For faith comes through the revelation of the word. And today's church is anemic because we've let go of prophecies, of tongues, and of knowledge or experience with God. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, because the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. But the Pharisees did. And so he didn't call the Sadducees hypocrites, he called the Pharisees hypocrites. Because the Pharisees believed in the resurrection of the dead. They believed in the afterlife, they believed in the supernatural, but then when it came to God doing signs and wonders, they denied that, so they became the hypocrites. I heard the other day an evolutionist talking about the miracle of evolution. Isn't that amazing? They don't believe in miracles, but they believe in the miracle of evolution. But yet we have people who call themselves Christians. See, and we deny miracles, which means we deny the power of God. We deny God to intervene into our life. We deny God the ability to change our lives and redirect us, to give us a new birth. We're denying the power and the working of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, 17, it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. They will see visions and dream dreams. Are we in the last days? Yeah. In the last days, God's going to do what? He's going to pour out his spirit. Hallelujah. In other words, there's going to be a revival take place. Will everyone receive it? No, not everyone will receive him, but God's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. Well, what's going to happen when he pours out his spirit? Tongues, prophecies, signs and wonders, all this stuff's going to be happening. And how are they going to answer it then? What are they going to say when people get healed and miraculously and just walk out, when the dead are raised back to life? Well, they're going to answer it the same way they always answer. They're just not cover it. Just pretend it doesn't exist. Put us in with the snake handlers. That's what they tried to do with Oral Roberts. They denied that any miracles happened. They denied any healing ability, and then they prosecuted them for practicing medicine without a license. Nothing would happen, but he shouldn't do it. Flesh persecutes the spirit. Well, we are in the last days, and God is pouring out his spirit. I want to do this. Matthew 16:17-19, Jesus says about the keys of the kingdom is revelation from the Father. He said, on this rock, Peter announced that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and he says, no man could have revealed this to you, only my Father in heaven. And he says, on this rock, and I believe he's talking about the rock or the revelation that the Spirit gave to Peter, on this rock, on this revealed knowledge, I will build my church. And he says, and the gates of hell, of Hades, shall not prevail against it. In other words, when you get a revelation of who God is, it's too late for anybody to talk you out of it. That's why you've got to know who God is. You've got to know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because once you know the power of the Holy Spirit, no one can talk you out of them. No one can tell you, well, this tongue stuff isn't real. Too late. Well, miracles aren't real. Too late. Well, this thing about the Holy Spirit, that's just not real. Too late. I've experienced too much of Him. I've experienced too much of God. It's too late for you to come in and brainwash me and tell me these things don't exist. It's too late. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. What God did then, He will do today. And now, what did He do back then? 1 Acts chapter 2, 38 and 39. Oh man, we're running out of time. Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. He tells these people, what you saw today on the day of Pentecost, the tongue talking, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the power that was being released, what you see today is to you. But He didn't stop. And to your children. But to your children's children. And all who are afar off. Well, we're pretty far off. It's been 2,000 years later. To all who are afar off. It didn't say, well, this will work up until about 70 A.D. And then after that, poof, it's gone. That's what a lot of people believe. 70 A.D. hit, it's all gone. I read one article the other week, and it says that the gift of tongues and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit stopped before the last apostle died. I thought it used to be that it stopped when the last apostle died. Now it stopped beforehand. It's like we're rewriting church history. I want to tell you, it continued for hundreds and 2,000 years after the last apostle died. It's still continuing today. Why? Because God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Peter said, by the Spirit of God, this promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God will call. Go with me to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Cornelius has called Peter to his house. Cornelius is a Gentile, and he once, an angel appeared to him. Kind of sounds like Iran. An angel appeared to him and said, I want you to call Peter. He's in this such a town, at this such an address, and I want you to call to him and tell him to come, and you need to hear what he has to say. He goes, okay. So he sends the servants. They get Peter. Peter has a dream, and that don't call anything unclean that God has called clean. Peter doesn't understand it, but when they knock at the door, God tells them, go with them. Now, Jews don't have anything to do with Gentiles. They don't travel with them. They don't talk to them. They don't go to their home. And Peter says, yes, I'll go. And he gets Cornelius' house. And in verse 34, it says, Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. This is a new revelation because they believe that God only belonged to the Jews. Now, there's many people that say God only belongs to certain denominations. He's not for everyone. And God is not for certain classes of people. But Peter got a revelation. God is not a God of partiality. He says, but in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. Whoever fears Him. Whoever does the work of righteousness. Well, what's the work of righteousness? Believing in Jesus Christ. He says, if you believe God, if you believe on Jesus, if you fear God, if you believe on Jesus Christ, you'll be accepted by God. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which He did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed Him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with Him after He rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Now Peter is still preaching. The worst thing you can do to a preacher is interrupt him. I mean, we don't like that. I mean, we got a plan, although sometimes it doesn't seem like it. You know, we have a plan, we got a direction, we're in the flow, and all of a sudden somebody interrupts you. But we always make an exception. If God interrupts, we'll give him a pass, as long as he doesn't do it too often. Well, verse 44 says, while Peter is still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit, or God, fell on all those who heard the word. Now, I want to tell you, that is an interruption. And it's a good enough interruption. Peter stopped. You know how hard it is to get a preacher to stop? There is something going on. I know some of you are looking at your watch. It's already noon. But it's hard. And Peter stopped. And he's watching what's going on. In verse 45 it says, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Now get this. Peter's preaching. All of a sudden the Holy Spirit gets poured out on the Gentiles. God interrupts the church service with a sign and a wonder, and everyone's astonished. Well, what are they astonished at? If you go to some churches that are baptized in the Holy Ghost, they're astonished that they're still sitting there in their quietness. You're so astonished that they're just sitting there doing nothing. No, that doesn't astonish you. That's church. You know? We're trying to resurrect the dead in the pews. Amen? Like one preacher said, you know why they call them pews? They stink. All the dead people sitting in them. Pew! Woo! Wow! You know, but that didn't happen here. The Holy Spirit interrupts, and the Holy Spirit is poured out on them. Well, how does Peter know this? How do the people who are with Peter, how do they recognize that God is interrupting? That there's something, it's got to be, first of all, loud. It's got to be obvious. There is something going on in the house that doesn't normally happen. And if you go to verse 46, it says, for they heard them, they heard them. They were saying something. Something was going on. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Isn't that awesome? Gentiles, people outside the covenant of God. And they watch this astonishing feat while they're preaching. I mean, wouldn't it be horrible right in the middle of church for somebody to jump up, I'm healed, I'm healed. Wouldn't that be, I mean, we just, everything's got to be done right and in order. We don't want any of this frivolous wildfire stuff. Well, when there's fire in the house, there's fire. And when the Holy Ghost shows up, things begin to happen. If we will give him place. Or Cornelius wasn't attending a church service. He had invited this man to his home because he wanted to hear what he had to say. And God told him, you talk to this guy, you get him to your house, and you listen to him. Cornelius knew something was up. And while they're listening about Jesus, he already feared God, but now he was believing in Jesus. And just to show the Jews that they don't have a corner on God, Jesus just baptized them in the Holy Ghost with the speaking of other tongues, the manifestation. And everybody was astonished. Well, we've talked about the Holy Ghost for 1,500 years, and when he showed up, we didn't like it. And we tried to kick him out of church. And we tried to legislate him out of church. And churches passed ordinance. We don't allow tongue talking in this congregation. Or they just told the Father, so we don't want your Son or the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't want your manifestation in our services. It's disruptive. It's uncontrollable. People get wild with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you know what happens? Revival breaks out. Lives change. Drunks sober up. Drug addicts get rid of their needles. People's lives are transformed because they've been introduced to a living power that transcends what they've ever experienced and changes their life forever. And that's what's happening here. This Gentile is believing on God and his life has suddenly changed. And verse 47, Peter says, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? just as we have. He said, the same thing that happened to us on the day of Pentecost, we're watching it happen right out here. We never thought it was possible. We never thought that God could do this. We had God in a little box. God, forgive us. We have a newfound fear of you, and we're not going to withhold anything from him. And yet churches across this land will teach that God is withholding from you. He's withholding the Holy Spirit. How do they preach that? Well, you know, those things have just passed away now. One of these days, maybe, but it's passed away. I want to tell you, it hasn't passed away. It has not passed away. God has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What has changed is people don't fear God. Because if we would fear God, we wouldn't say some of the things about God that we say. We wouldn't act the way that we do sometimes. We wouldn't go those places. We wouldn't. It's like, no, we have a fear of God. What? God is righteous. And if we do righteous, if we believe in Jesus, we will be accepted by him. The Holy Ghost in this case was a sign that you're accepted. No matter what men may say, you're accepted. Well, we can still use that today. If we get baptized in the Holy Ghost, God is saying, I accept you. You're one of my own. I'm setting you apart to be different from anybody else around you. We shouldn't look to people to confirm us that we're okay with God. God is the testimony. He will bear witness with us that we are his children. Amen. And if we are his children, then God does not withhold anything from us. Oh, man. I'll tell you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a powerful sign and work in many different ways. But I want you to hear today, the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes with other tongues. And it is a sign, one of the things is, the Holy Spirit is a sign of approval and acceptance by God. It is his mark stamped on us that says, you're approved and accepted, and I will withhold nothing from you if you will believe. That's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. I've given to you. I've given to you all that I have. Isn't God good? Isn't he wonderful? Let's stand up and worship him. Stand up and magnify him just for a couple minutes. Oh, Father, we give you praise. We give you honor. If you pray in other tongues, begin to pray in the Spirit. Oh, God, no koda bahasata dakada. If you don't pray in tongues, ask God to baptize you right now in the Holy Ghost. Ask him to baptize you with the experience of tongues, with able to speak in angelic languages, to let your spirit man out and to pray. Kida bakate makata. Gremero kuti shitana makata. Dina mahasata nakoda. Yida bakata. Praise you, God. Praise you, Father. Oh, says the Lord, I have given to you the greatest resource you could ever have, greater than any library, greater than any book you could possibly read, for I have given you of myself. I've given my Holy Spirit to you, says the Lord God. I have given the Holy Spirit to be a witness in you that you would witness to the world. I've given you the Holy Spirit, the baptism, the other tongues. I've given this to you that you would know that you are marked. Oh, but my people have replaced the knowledge of revelation with the knowledge of man's written wisdom. And you've looked to men to explain to you the things that only my Spirit can reveal to you. And so you read the books of men and you think, oh, I have understanding. You have no understanding. You have a clue. And when you begin to go and seek out my Spirit, that clue will become reality and you'll solve the mystery that confounds you so daily. You'll find that resolution that you've cried out for, that hunger will be satisfied, the thirsting will be filled. Because you found the revelation of my person, says the Lord. For in my person is all things. There's healing in my person. There's forgiveness in my person. There is working of miracles in my person. Oh, there is abundance and prosperity without end in my person, says the Lord. But don't seek the wisdom of men. Use it to spur you on to seek the baptism of the Spirit, to seek the things that belong to me, saith God. For I have already revealed them to you by my Spirit. And when you draw to me, I will draw nigh unto you. When you come close to me, I'll come closer to you, says the Lord. For I'm just waiting for those who will believe by faith, who will take me at my word, says the Lord, and trust me with their whole understanding. oh, the things that I have for you. Where do you think Edison got his idea of a light bulb? Nobody had ever seen a light bulb. Nobody had ever seen electricity. They didn't have a clue. And yet I showed it to Thomas. And he saw it and he said, I can do this thing. I can do this thing. How can rocks cry out? I showed Thomas Edison how to do it. How can man travel the speed of light? I showed Albert those things, and he was amazed at it. Oh, he was not a believer at the beginning, but he became a believer, and he followed after me, says the Lord. But I showed him these things by my Spirit. Well, I have things to show you. I have things to show you that man hasn't seen or dreamed of, that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, but I'll reveal them to you by my word, by my Spirit, says the Lord, if you will draw near to me. I am your greatest resource. I am the greatest revelation and understanding that you will ever have, saith God. Seek me. Seek me. Come unto me. Pray in tongues. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in my person and draw near to me. Oh, and you'll see things. For I will reveal even future things to you that men will not believe. But you'll know, and you'll know, and you'll understand. And you'll see those things come to pass in your lifetime, says the Lord. Praise you, Father. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you, Father. God has things for us. And some of those things, the only way you're going to find them is to get into the Holy Spirit. He answers things. He resolves doubts by His Holy Spirit. Well, Father, we just thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for your presence with us. We thank you, Lord, that you choose to reveal things to your children that men don't understand. We thank you, Lord, that you know us by name. And Father, you have things set aside for us that are special and unique to us and our person and our families and our situation. We thank you, Lord, now for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that those who are not baptized, God, that we would seek you with our whole heart. Because you said if we seek you, we will find you. So Father, I pray to baptize everyone here in the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would have that revelation knowledge of you and we would walk in it for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you.